with myself.
You're saying it, brother. What to do. I have no idea what to do with myself.
It's weird being back after a week off for me and 2 weeks off since being on the air with you. And it's been a strange thing. Get back in the groove. Getting back in the swing of things.
It's a little odd, man.
It is.
I gotta tell you. It's a little weird.
It is. And folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Luke. That's Brian.
As far as I know.
As far as we're aware. But, you know, we're getting back into the swing of things, like we said. And we're taking your phone calls. 844-967-2789. So, Brian, before we dive into the next headline stories, let's take Robert from West Dallas. Robert, what's on your mind today?
Hi, guys. I just wanted to kind of finish up on the last thing you were talking about there with Gableman and Voss. You know, there's really no there. The only two cases of voter fraud we've seen in the state was the Supreme Court race. I think David Prosser was running in where they found a laptop in the trunk with votes on it in Waukesha County. And
great
the
job.
Fraudulent electors, you know, we haven't seen any other fraudulent voting in the state. So I guess I'm wondering, when is Josh Call going to put his big boy pants on and go after these guys for defrauding the taxpayer?
He has recommended it to the Department of Justice, the Federal Department of Justice.
Right, but he should charge it on a state level if he can, because, what? I mean, this is ridiculous. There's nothing there. Everyone knows there's nothing there.
Well, I think Merrick Garland does have a number of issues on his hands, Robert, and we appreciate your call. But
it'd be nice if he worked on one of them.
Yeah, that's true.
One came to fruition, but again, as a guy who's got 4,000 irons in the fire.
How do you know which one to pull first?
And how do you know which one's done? I don't know. Sometimes
don't know
you just
either.
Go in a corner and cry.
I've been there.
There's a lot of yelling in the car. And I've gotten to a point now where I don't need to do anything. My dog knows. She just leaves the room.
There you go.
But that's the 5 minutes I'm home.
To give you an update, Robert, on that exact issue as well, before I was going to go in a little bit of a different direction, but here on Dueling Tangents, we tangentially go down the stories.
Follow
that are
that tangent, man, because it's all relative.
It is all relative. And so 1 year ago, Law Forward, on behalf of a group here of plaintiffs in Dane County, filed a complaint with the Wisconsin Elections Commission to look into exactly those 10 fraudulent electors. And that was a year ago. Nothing's happened on the Wisconsin Elections Commission because, again, it's 3-3 Democrat, Republican, designed bipartisan gridlock into that commission. And so hasn't acted on that complaint because one of those six individuals is one of the fraudulent electors, Bob Spindell. So that complaint was filed a year ago. And today, Law Forward, the progressive legal group, has asked the Dane County District Attorney to begin going forward and investigating charges of criminal fraud against those 10 fraudulent electors. Because, again, the vote took place on December 14th, 2020, here in Dane County at the Wisconsin State Capitol.
And that took some planning, too. They all met together beforehand. They got armed security. It's not like people just have armed security. They also rented out a room that same day. Scott Fitzgerald let them in the building, or at least was the one responsible for letting them in the building. Because from what I understand, at least from the Deviltree situation, is that you can't you can't enter a locked building.
You're
it was unlocked.
Yeah, you're not supposed to
do that. From what I understand, again, this is what I'm told.
Exactly. So we appreciate your call, Robert, but that is the update. So Law Forward asking the Dane County District Attorney to look into some fraud charges against those 10 electors because, again, if we're looking for voter fraud in the 2020 election, that's your best example.
Yeah. Yeah. Good for you guys.
You could be like Robert. Give us a call, 844-967-2789. But Brian, the next story I wanted to get into, a little bit lighter note, but pretty interesting play out. And I think a lot of Wisconsin fans, you know, watching the basketball game yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
I was kind of watching it in the background. It was lunch with my brother, and we watched the Badgers win. It was tied at halftime, and I was a little worried. I was like, hey, come on, these guys got to get this together. And casually watching the game in the background, and then all of a sudden it's over, and Badgers won by 15, and I was like, great. They got it together. They pulled ahead, and they kept the lead, and another victory, a conference victory for the Badgers. And then as the game's wrapping up, boom, there is a just scrum, essentially, in the middle of the Kohl Center. And I was like, what the heck happened?
Listen, I've been in fights before. That was not a fight.
It was not a fight. It was very, but. It was very jarring to be like, oh, the game's over. And then the next time I look up at the screen, like, people are like holding others back from like escalating tensions further.
If you're reading articles that say Juwan Howard punched, I forget the coach's name. One of the assistants. It was one of the assistants.
I think it was Gavenholt. It was one of the. It's Gavenholt.
He didn't punch anyone. If Juwan Howard punched you, you'd be out.
Yes.
Let's just say that right now. So this is media. I mean, depending on who wants to get their articles out there, they're going to say that Juwan Howard punched someone when in fact he didn't. You can watch the video.
You can say hit.
You can reach out and say like slapped or pushed or like that.
To me, it looked like a slap.
Yeah, a weird push in the face kind of thing. It was a weird, I don't know what to do
type
of
thing. I'm angry and I'm frustrated.
I want to hit you but can't.
Yes.
So all the people that were in that situation were starting to act on instinct.
Mm-hmm.
The Wisconsin coach is much shorter, okay? Juwan Howard was a player, so he's like 7 foot, right?
He was part of the Fab Five, correct?
He's part of the Fab Five, right? Yeah. And, you know, a lot of respect for Juwan Howard. He's an announcer and all that stuff. But when you get in that altercation, you're starting to get fight or flight responses. You're starting to go to instinctual responses rather than rational responses. I'm a leader. I have to go and do something. So you got to also understand that the Wisconsin head coach, who's shorter, comes up to him and also grabs him a couple times. Now, the Wisconsin coach, this is what he does all day in practice when, you know, guys get into it or move people around. He's putting people. That's how a smaller coach moves the people around the floor. That's an instinctual coach thing to do.
Yes, guard 100%. Is smaller, but at the same time, I don't think he was trying to. It wasn't a corrective thing. It was kind of like, hey, man, let's show sportsmanship at the end of the game.
But the way that he grabbed him, the instinct to grab him like that isn't, from guard's mind, isn't an aggressive thing, more of an instinctual, this is how I deal with a person that's taller than me that has to be relaxed or calmed down to, because he's used to dealing with large men who are, you know, worked up or adrenalized, right? So again, this altercation is about letting things get to a point where you go to instinctual fight or flight responses. And once you get to that point, all bets are off the table. You have no idea how someone's going to respond.
No. And so some people can say that this was all sportsmanship that was chalked up to be Michigan was down by 15 points and still doing full court press, and Greg Gard called a timeout to break that press even though they had a 15-point lead but didn't want to turn the ball over and make it any closer than it was. And so it was definitely a back and forth. I think that Juwan Howard should have recognized and still said, hey, good game at the end of it, because that is what sportsmanship is.
For sure.
You should put those differences aside of how the game necessarily unfolded. Win or lose, you should be a good sport about it. Greg Gard necessarily didn't need to grab Juwan Howard's
arm. No, that escalated it,
Escalated it. But then getting to the point of, I don't know what was said between the assistant coach and Juwan Howard that got him even further riled up to do the slap hit. Kind of whatever you want to call it,
there's a certain couple phrases that if you just throw out there that I'd probably hit you too, or someone really should, or someone should get a swat upside the head for certain things that you say in the middle of a situation to us, like pour gas on the fire type of thing.
Yes,
I'm of the mind that like if you say something you really should not have, every now and then you might get a slap upside the head and then move on from there, because you should have learned that from there. But again, like I said, you get into a situation where you have so many people like that, bad things are going to happen because someone's going to feel cornered and someone's going to feel... look at the Ron Artest situation, where Ron Artest ran into the stands to punch a fan. Now, if you watch the documentary and you watch how it all went down, again, you should not go up to the stands and assault anyone.
Right.
The person in the stands should not throw a thing at Ron Artest, but the circumstances up to that could have been mitigated to the point where that situation did not happen.
Correct.
And it wasn't. And that's my point, is that you got to figure out a way to clear off the benches as soon as you can. You got to find a way to go and get between them. And normally these things don't get to this point. People
really
shake
don't.
Hands in the middle of a scrum all the time. But again, you got to realize the situation you are beginning and starting yourself in before you move on with anything else.
Right. And the Big Ten is going to be investigating the whole incident. The Michigan athletic director has already called Wisconsin's athletic director and attempt to smooth things over. So we're going to see what happens.
I'm sure the coaches are just fine at this point.
Yes. Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think everything else is just public.
Yes, it is all now public at this point. Again, it's going to come down to the protocols of how you should conduct yourself on and off the court. And this was on the court incidents that was leaving the court. So it's pretty crazy to see that it happened. But I have a feeling we're going to get investigation updates about that, Brian, sooner than this next story that I want to tangentially go into then as well.
Yeah, situations that should have been avoided, let's say.
Yes, absolutely. Situations that should not have led to the results and the outcomes that we are currently seeing. Because one of the other things that has been pretty much going on the entire time that you and I haven't been on the airwaves together is we've been getting updates about the Quandron Wilson shooting here in Madison, Wisconsin. So on February 3rd, to catch anybody up that has missed any of the headlines to date for where we are with the Quandron Wilson story, there was a traffic incident, an attempt to arrest Quandron Wilson on February 3rd that led to an officer-involved shooting that had multiple state agencies, including the Madison Police, the Wisconsin Department of Justice, Department of Criminal Investigation. Sorry, I was getting the acronyms flipped in my head real quick. So DCI, Department of Criminal Investigation officers, as well as some state troopers and 21 officers in total, Brian, on that February 3rd arrest stop. They used a pincer maneuver between two unmarked cop cars to pin Quandron Wilson's car on the far east side of Madison. And then when Quandron Wilson got out of the car, there was a lot of shouting. There was, again, fight or flight instances for a lot of individuals, 21 armed officers around this one individual. And shots were fired. And very little information was shared to the public after that, Brian. But since we've been getting little pieces
What's the body cam situation in that?
No body cams.
Really?
No body
cams.
Were
they off or they just not have them?
I believe Madison has been putting forth a pilot program, but the three officers, the Madison police officers that were involved on the perimeter, they were holding the perimeter and did not see the shootings itself.
Gotcha.
So that was Madison Police Department's statement after the shooting occurred.
Again, this is to protect your own officers.
Again. So that was what was said. Normally, Brian, the Department of Criminal Investigations is the department at the state level that looks into every law enforcement officer that discharges their weapon. But since they're the ones that investigate those incidents, they can investigate themselves, and Dane County has been investigating. So the Dane County Sheriff's Department has been the one leading the investigation into this officer-involved shooting. And on Friday, during a Friday news dump, Brian, no less, we got an update from the Dane County Sheriff's Office that Quandron Wilson was unarmed when this shooting occurred. So 21 officers, unarmed individual, they were serving a warrant where they used way more excessive force than they needed to.
Again, what was the warrant for?
I believe one individual back in April of 2020, it was connected to the death of a fentanyl overdose. And so that is what this individual was in search for. So overdose situation.
So this person may or may not have supplied fentanyl
to
somebody?
May or may not. Correct.
Like accidentally or possibly maliciously?
Yes. That is the attempted accusation in the warrant. And to apprehend that individual, they decided 21 officers.
So this guy was in a car, right?
Yep.
So they found 21 officers to track. Do they have 21 officers tracking the car? Do they get the car to like show up in a spot and they hit it? Or
I have
like
no, they pinned it at a stoplight. So that is the best of my knowledge of that. But we've been getting such little information that now we know though that Dane County Sheriff's Office has no reason to believe that Quandron Wilson was armed, even though there was allegedly officers at the scene shouting "gun" when shots were fired.
Look, when you get yourself in that situation, someone does yell "gun," I totally understand why you would fire, because that's what you're supposed to do. But again, when you put yourself in that situation, that's your